Well, first, let's have you just give us a description of this project that's fairly elaborative. Is there a thumbnail sketch you can give us about exactly what these researchers are doing over at UD?
Well, okay, I guess by now most everyone has heard about testing by Tesla and Uber to come up with safe self-driving vehicles. What's going on at UD is a little bit different. Rather than working to create a single vehicle that can safely navigate city streets and interstate highways, the objective of the UD Smart Cities project is to develop a control system that would enable a community of vehicles to interact safely in an urban environment. That means moving at steady rates of speed, taking alternate routes to avoid traffic jams, doing all the things that ensure safety on the road while also using less fuel and creating less pollution.
And they are at the beginning of this work, so what are maybe some of the certain things that they're looking for in this initial stage of their research?
Well, let me describe it first. This UD project is set up in a room on the second floor of Spencer Lab, which is the mechanical engineering department's building. And the setup is like on a 20 by 20 foot floor space, a 1/24th scale model of a mini city with an extensive roadway network built into it. They've got 35 battery-powered scale model cars and trucks that travel these roads, and they're following instructions that are created by computer-generated algorithms. Tiny cameras mounted on each vehicle enable them to see what they're approaching and to keep a safe distance from the vehicle that's in front of them. So the first thing that they're looking for, and they seem to have achieved it, is to see that the model cars can follow directions and navigate safely. And now in this context, they're continually testing new algorithms, instructions for vehicles, things like telling them to leave enough space so that they can alternately merge in a traffic circle or in a highway on-ramp. Things like that.
And the short-term goal would be to move this project to its next step, real cars in a controlled environment, not at scale, but in actual size. What could that look like if they get to that point at UD?
Well, okay, let me speculate on that a little bit because I haven't heard anything that's official. Nobody has committed to this at all. But there's been a lot of talk about making those next moves at the new Star campus, which is ironically the site of the former Chrysler Auto Assembly plant. As new buildings are constructed there, new roadways are being put in as well. And the Newark train station, which is on the edge of the Star campus, is being relocated. The expectation down the road then is that shuttle buses are going to carry visitors to the campus from the train station. So I wouldn't be surprised to see sensors installed on these new roadways, whether they're underground or mounted overhead somehow, along with some sort of a control center. And then that would be interconnected with vehicles, university-owned vehicles for the most part, that would be operating on the Star campus. Now, I can't really predict or explain how this might work, other than to say that this portion of the campus could be developed as a controlled environment that could serve as a test track for the vehicles, whether they're autonomous or human-driven, and these vehicles could receive instructions through computers so that the routes that they take would be safer and more energy efficient.
How about long-term? What are they hoping to accomplish with this? And what are some of the hurdles they're trying to clear as they work toward that ultimate goal?
Okay. Well, as I've said, the comprehensive goal is to create an interconnected system, not just a vehicle, not just a transportation infrastructure, but something that would make transportation safer, more efficient, and more respectful of the environment by combining both vehicles and that infrastructure. This project aims to demonstrate that establishing connections between the vehicles and the transportation infrastructure can generate efficiencies and improvements that are greater than either piece can achieve on its own. As one of the project members said, who knows, maybe 20 or 30 years from now, we can find a way to eliminate the need for stop signs and traffic signals. As for the hurdles that need to be cleared, the most significant will be the development of industry standards. And that won't come until researchers at UD and anywhere else where similar experiments are being conducted determine the best methods for building autonomous vehicles and a roadway infrastructure, and for the two to communicate with each other. You're talking here about unifying vehicle manufacturing standards, and that's going to require the GM talks to Ford, which talks to Honda, which talks to Toyota, as well as federal and state transportation officials having to get on the same page as well. And now let's not forget that the applications being considered here are meaningful not only in the United States, but big cities and nations all over the world also have traffic safety and congestion issues. So the work that's being done here could very well have global implications.
What I also found fascinating in your piece is the number of people involved, many of them students. Is it fair to say this is exactly the type of thing UD has been looking to do, especially integrating the STAR campus?
Oh, yes, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, the cross-section of participation in this project is noteworthy. You've got a mechanical engineering professor in charge, and then you've got two postgraduate research associates who are overseeing the day-to-day work. Underneath them, you've got a mix of graduate students, men and women working on master's and doctoral degrees, plus 15 undergraduates, and then in addition to that, three high school students who help out when their schedules permit. And then you look at the background of these students and their leaders, and that's quite diverse too. Professor Andreas Malakopoulos, who heads the project, is a native of Greece. One of the PhD students I met has worked a couple of years for Ford Motors, working on the design of car interiors. One of the undergraduates is a young woman from Mount Pleasant High School in Wilmington who prefers driving on country roads to city traffic. Another undergraduate, the guy who solders the model car circuit boards together, is a native of China who talks a lot about traffic jams in Shanghai. Another PhD student arrived in Newark last summer from Iran, and he'll tell you that congestion in Tehran is pretty bad too. Finally, one of the two postdoctoral researchers is Dimitris Assanas, who happens to be the son of President Dennis Assanas, UD President Dennis Assanas, who in a former life directed the automotive laboratories at the University of Michigan. So what you have here is people from many different academic, cultural, research backgrounds bringing diverse perspectives to the project. As for the STAR campus, as you know, STAR stands for Science, Technology, and Research. So it would provide an appropriate test track for the next phase of this project. As Dimitris Assanas told me, it's almost in the mission statement of the STAR campus to explore these technologies.
And you suggest that this project's interdisciplinary nature allows these students you've talked about to really broaden their horizons a bit. Can you give us some examples of that?
Oh, sure can. Let's start with Dimitris Assanas. His undergraduate and graduate research was in the areas of power and propulsion, how to reduce energy consumption and emissions in vehicles. Now he's looking at it from another perspective, how adaptations in the roadway network can bring about these same sort of reductions. Behdad Shalaki, the PhD student from Iran, said his undergraduate work in Tehran focused on heat transfer and renewable energy. That's totally different from all this stuff, he says. So he's learning a lot of new things. Then there's Becky Williams, the junior who went to Mount Pleasant High School. Before getting involved with this project, she was most interested in working with composites, durable, lightweight materials that can make many types of vehicles stronger and safer. Working on smart cities has helped her learn about design, about electronics, about robotics and controls. She's developing new skills that will help her with whatever she decides to do in her life. But she says the challenges she's been exposed to in this project is making it harder for her to decide what she wants to do next.
So I have to ask, having checked all this out, has your opinion about driverless cars changed at all?
Well, one thing I've learned personally is that, you know, getting older, your reflexes can slow down and your focus can drift. So, you know, having a safe and efficient system for driverless vehicles could very well improve access to many services for senior citizens. Imagine not needing to call a taxi or call your son or daughter to get to a doctor's appointment, or not having to wait for a bus to get to the senior center. And, you know, given the accident rate among teenage drivers, interconnected autonomous systems could increase safety by taking these younger hands off the steering wheel. You know, what I have learned from this project is that a safer future requires changes both in the vehicles and the roads on which they're driven. And that's going to require significant collaborations between government and private industry. I guess that can happen, but I'd predict that the pace of those partnerships moving forward will be closer to city driving than it will be interstate speeds. So, bottom line, I see a lot of good things here, but I'm not sure whether the systems are going to develop quickly enough for me to wind up enjoying them.